Hello and welcome to Sustainable Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things related to climate change and sustainability across the county of Warwickshire.
Hello, I'm Steve Smith, the Director at Warwickshire County Council, and I'm your host of our podcast series, Sustainable Warwickshire. We hope to share some of the things being done to fight climate change and support biodiversity from across the county and give you some ideas on what you can do to play your part. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the Sustainable Future Strategy that Warwickshire County Council's Cabinet have just approved. We know the word strategy conjures up visions of papers written and put on a shelf, never to be looked at again, or perhaps something beautifully written, but that does never lead to any concrete action. So today I want to explore what this strategy means for Warwickshire's residents and businesses and what our communities might expect to see as a result. Joining me to discuss the Sustainable Futures Strategy is Heather Timms, Portfolio Holder for Environment, Climate and Culture at Warwickshire County Council, and Sarah Steer, Head of Climate Change and Sustainability, also at the County Council. Heather, if I can come to you first, if you can just introduce yourself and your role as the Portfolio Holder and what that means in practice.
I'm Heather Timms. I'm a councillor for Earl Craven, which is an area between a rural area between Coventry and Rugby. And I have enjoyed being the portfolio holder for environment, climate and culture for the last 3 or 4 years. And it's really follows a lot of my interests. So I feel incredibly lucky to hold this portfolio and to be able to engage with lots and lots of people around it, from waste right the way through to tourism and the culture in our county. You might think it's a bit odd that culture's in there, actually. When I introduced myself, lots of people say, why culture as well? And for me, it really is about how much of a rural county we are and the rural tourism agenda and how that feeds through into climate change. So there is a real connection there. So it's been a really interesting portfolio to hold.
Excellent. Thank you, Heather. And Sarah, if you can just explain to our listeners your role and the remit of the people that you work with, please.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So like you say, I'm head of the Climate Change and Sustainability team. That's a really new team here at Warwickshire. So whilst we've taken this seriously for quite some time and we've had experts working in this area, this team and my role was set up over the summer really as a reflection of how we're kind of stepping up the ante, I guess, and more importantly, to be able to develop and deliver on the strategy. So we're a really small team, and that's deliberate, because actually the strategy really encompasses everything that we do as an organisation, and it stretches across all of our services within the organisation and actually beyond that into the county as well. So how we work with our communities, our partners, our stakeholders and others is really, really important.
And Heather, you mentioned it aligns with your interests. Do you find yourself working in this sphere, thinking about sustainability in your own daily life and the people you interact with?
Yes, very much so. I'm a farmer's daughter. Biodiversity and everything about planting trees across Warwickshire really excites me. I'm interested in waste and how we deal with that, how we recycle it. It may seem, you go to the Coventry incinerator and you see what's going through there. Yes, it's translating into energy, but hey, could we use those things in different ways? And certainly with the new recycling plant coming on stream for all the councils across Warwickshire, that's a really interesting debate to be had as part of this strategy.
And you also mentioned rural county and rural tourism, and obviously Warwickshire is significantly rural. Do you find that the connections you have with other councils around the Midlands and maybe wider are similarly looking at this?
Yes, I certainly do, because going back to waste, I mean, that has into the new recycling centre, that has attracted many, many councils to take part in it, to use it. And I think it will attract even more. We are really good partners with the West Midlands Combined Authority and also looking east. So I think it's important that we look at the whole topic regionally as well as within the county.
And Sarah, you obviously the team is quite new and small, and I think I heard you say that you're obviously working with all departments within the county council. Are you finding there are particular areas that have got a lot of work to do in this particular area of sustainability? Is everybody playing their part, do you see?
As I mentioned before, Steve, it's definitely cross-cutting across everything that we do. But there are parts of the council that are having a bigger impact than others. So, you know, for those that have a look at the strategy, they'll see how significant the built environment is, for example, and energy. And, you know, we've got teams in the organisation that look after that for us in terms of our estate. So obviously they have a big role to play. But similarly, the other biggie is transport. And, you know, the work that we've done with transport colleagues to make sure that our strategy really, really dovetails into what they're doing. And, you know, it's really welcoming to know that sustainability is right at the top of the list in terms of the local transport plan. So the team that are delivering on that's really important as well. But, you know, that said, everybody has a role to play, regardless what the services are that they're delivering. And for some people, it might be about the adaptations that they're going to have to make, because if we're not successful, or even if we are successful on this journey, there will be others in the world that mean that the climate is increasing, and that will impact on the services we deliver, whether that's about the way in which our fire service operates and the fact that we might see more wildfires as a consequence of global warming, or whether it's our adult social care services and thinking about the impacts that climate change is going to have on our residents, and therefore how do they deliver their services. So there's, you know, there's a role in the organisation for those that have kind of play a role in mitigation and making the world better in the first instance, but there's also that role around adaptation and how we deliver our services.
Yes, and it does extend one's thinking, doesn't it, to think that all public services have a part to play, and you've just given us some excellent examples there. Heather, I'd just like to take us back to when the County Council declared the climate emergency in July 2019, and obviously we've been through a pandemic since then, so there's been a lot for councils up and down the country to deal with. And I'd just like to understand from you really about how members of different parties get engaged in this subject matter, and particularly when the council has many different policy areas and many different challenges it has to face across all of its services. And it'd be good to understand how members have got behind the whole push towards achieving sustainability and how that features in strategic thinking of the council.
Yes, well, I certainly think when we started on this journey in 2019 and making those commitments, I'm not saying we hadn't started on a journey long before that, because I know we had, but it is certainly about engagement with our communities, with our residents. For councillors, it always is. And we started with the Sustainable Green Shoots campaign and getting our communities involved, getting them thinking about it through, you know, energy sources like solar panels upon church residential units and all of these kinds of things. And that money, I think, really kick-started. It was only a small amount of money in comparison to everything we spend everywhere else, but it really did start communities thinking about it. And we've got lots and lots of examples on our websites, specific climate change website, that shows people how they can make those changes. And while that money is now spent, it's also then about being able to go out and get more grants from other organisations as they think about this issue, private sector monies, as they think about that issues and how we can feed that into our communities.
And Sarah, you gave us a few examples then. I'm just thinking, in practice, I can imagine across the whole group of employees, lots of people want to be engaged, want to contribute, and we think about our daily lives and the adjustments that we make out of choice. It'd be interesting to understand, you know, the breadth of engagement, you know, amongst the staff groups, and what kind of groups and debates we can have, and how do we get those ideas from bottom up, really, so that they can feed into our overall delivery.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And we do that in quite a number of ways. So, for example, for quite some time now, we've had the Climate Change Champions Group that exists across our staff base. And that's a really healthy group that comes together very regularly with folk from all kinds of services to talk about the things that we can do. And that often has themes, and people come to the table with different ideas and they share those. So we're learning from each other all the time across the organisation. But we also do that in more formal ways to make sure that we're going to deliver against the strategy and we have the right kind of mechanisms in place to have good project delivery and change management. And we do that through our organisation structure, and we'll make sure that our members are involved in that process as well by reporting through to the various groups that exist, whether that's our overview and scrutiny committees. But of course, Heather also chairs cross-party groups as well that come together as an organisation of our members, but also externally, actually, with our district and borough colleagues and how we share wider than just ourselves in the local authority space.
Yes, and Heather, that leads me to think that obviously we and many other councils, including the districts and boroughs of Warwickshire, have similarly made this a priority within their organisations, declaring the climate emergency when they did. And I'd just like to get a sense from your point of view how that translates when we work across boundaries between different councils, that we're on the same page, that we talk to our town and parish councils as well about what they're looking to do, what they can do more locally at a different scale. It'd be interesting to understand what you're involved in at the different levels.
Yeah, I think with the borough and district councils, it's been very much having that cross group that meets together on a regular basis. So because we have slightly different responsibilities, but we don't want... We want to learn from each other, but also to be able to not duplicate, because that's the worst thing you can do with public money. And you really want to make sure that you drive that change right across the county, because obviously you always have more willing participants than others. But you want to make sure that everybody's coming together and learning at the same pace and being able to take things forward at the same sort of pace. And also, obviously, for them to learn what we're doing, particularly on transport and air and energy, areas like that, where we have the county responsibility. So we have a duty as well to share and to learn from our district and borough colleagues. And also on the town and parish council, we have a reference group, which we really started, and it meets virtually. And I think that has been a really good step forward. Instead of trying to get, we've got numerous town and parish groups across the county, but having that virtual meeting means that we can talk about these issues and get the people who are interested in, but also be then able to share with everybody else what we've discussed, how it's come through, and to make it much more readily available. I can remember way, way back 20 years ago as a parish councillor getting a big tome from the county council and looking at it and thinking, don't think I'm going to need that for bedtime reading. But with a direct contact of a Teams meeting or whatever, you get that feedback, which is absolutely vital for us as a county, and hopefully for parish councils to understand how climate change and the sustainability agenda matters to them.
Absolutely. I'd like to just go into now more detail about the strategy itself. And I'm going to come to you, Sarah, about the content, really, and how we're structuring our approach toward what is a significant subject over a number of years of activity. If you could just explain, you know, our approach, how we've broken down the challenge, how we understand our own emissions, how we understand the emissions within Warwickshire itself.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Steve. So there's a lot to go at in the strategy, and that's because there's a lot to do. And at a headline level, what we're trying to achieve is essentially a net zero ambition of net zero by 2030 for us as an organisation, and by 2050 as a county. So in trying to do that, we've organised it within five themes. And we, of course, we could have cut this up in many different ways. And I've already talked about transport, and I've already talked about built environment and energy. So they're two of the themes. The others that I've not mentioned yet would include resources, waste and material recirculation, sustainable communities in the green economy, and natural capital and biodiversity. And that covers just so much. And each of those themes have really kind of gone back to, well, what is it that we want to achieve? And we've organised ourselves to really think about what are the objectives that sit under those. So if we're looking at transport, for example, if we as a county council are a producer, a user of transport within our services, then actually what are the things that we need to do to reduce our impact as a business on those CO2 emissions through transport? And then we've thought again about that in terms of the objective as a county level, so us as a place leader and convener, what is it that we as a county need to be able to do around that 2050 ambition? And equally, I talked a bit about adaptation earlier. You know, do we need to think about adaptation actions and activity within that space as well? So again, all of those have been thought about within the context of those themes, really, and really sort of starting to organise our thinking, working out who it is we need to work with, and whether that's our internal services, whether it's our partners, or others really in that space. So I don't know if that quite answers your question, but
No, it does. It does, absolutely. And I understand why we need to make sure that we've got quite specific dedicated action plans, really, so that we've got some specific. Could you give us a few examples of the kind of things we're doing, particularly in, say, energy and the built environment?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the built environment and energy, the biggest game in town is really looking at decarbonisation of our estate. So understanding what that looks like, understanding as a county council, where are our buildings, first of all, that kind of have the biggest emissions, and really thinking about what's the work that we need to do to make those better. There's a lot of funding available centrally from central government to help us do that. So making sure we're as ready as we can be for those kind of calls for funding as and when they come through. So that's really, really important. But it's also about how we work with our communities, and, you know, whether that's town and parish councils, or whether it's other community groups or residents, to kind of help them be in the best position possible to think about what their own solutions might be to some of these challenges, and how we can support them to deliver those solutions.
Yes. And Heather, I, as I've said already, that our neighbouring councils, the boroughs and districts within Warwickshire, are working on very similar lines. I'm thinking about waste and the sort of household waste collection that's been adopted, new approach that's been adopted in parts of the county, and how we might see that rolled out. And the same for connectivity on transport, both, you know, active travel, and seeing that across the county, how that fits with the use of the car and the electrification of that system, and also planting trees as well, which again is another very strong theme of ours. Just give us a flavour what you're seeing and how we're joining up what we're doing with our neighbouring councils, really, on those themes in particular.
I think I'll go to the biodiversity first, because we've got the West Midlands Combined Authority Virtual Forests, where we can record how many trees that we're planting. We've made a commitment to plant a tree for every resident. Now, what I don't want is sort of double counting, and all of our districts and boroughs have made the same commitment, but actually sort of let's get together and get these trees all recorded. And that we're planting the right tree in the right place, and we're not giving ourselves a huge maintenance issue going forward, that they are where they can stay, which is, you know, really, really important issue as well. And that's a conversation to have with the districts and boroughs when they're planting trees, and land that becomes available from landowners as well. But, you know, you need to work in a system that will make sure we record these numbers, and our ecology team do a great job on that, I know. But also, if you're working with waste, we're working with Coventry and Warwickshire, the incinerator at Coventry. We're working with Four Ashes at Stratford, a similar waste facility. But then also looking at what do we do with that tiny amount that we still send to landfill, because that's the bit we need to reduce as much as possible. But we need a plan for doing that. And I think that's what the strategy provides us with, that way forward. As new legislation comes in around things, we need to be able to adapt, and we need that route map that shows us the way to dealing with the issues as they arise. So I think it's really important to work with the neighbouring counties, because they're working on the same thing. If we're out of step with them, we might end up importing waste, which is something we don't want to do. What we want to do is keep our residual waste down to as low as we can, and to recycle or reuse as much as we can as well.
Yes. And the challenge, it seems, that I'm hearing is that we're all playing a part. We need to make sure we're very strongly coordinated, and we're doing things in more of a uniform manner, that it's not different in one patch compared to another, because that could undo good effort in one part of the county. And obviously we're looking at Warwickshire as a whole, as you said, Sarah. We're looking at the emissions across the whole county, which is a long project in measured in years, of course. And so I'm thinking of other challenges as well, Sarah, really, and that, you know, fine plans and actions are laid out, and we've got a very clear path to wanting to achieve net zero. But there are some significant challenges ahead, both for making sure that we can capitalise on the technology and the creativity that it's going to need in the way we deliver services, but also how we fund it as well. Do you want to just go into some detail about some of the challenges that we're working on?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so there's quite a lot, as you can imagine. This isn't going to be an easy task. We've definitely got a lot of work ahead of us, as you've mentioned. I actually think one of the biggest challenges is around attitudes and behaviour. And I think being able to have the right kind of comms plan and approach that sit behind that to be able to deliver on the things that we've set out within the strategy is really, really important. And that's about us internally as well as a county. You know, we know that we've got some absolute advocates across the organisation and across the county, but not everybody's on that journey with us. And being able to kind of shift those hearts and minds is really important. So, I mean, at best, we can have an army of 500,000 plus residents who can help us achieve this. But at worst, we haven't. And, you know, where people are less on this journey, that's a biggie. You mentioned finance before. And, you know, those who've read the strategy will know that we've talked about that quite openly within the document. It is a challenge for us, and it is something that we need to be quite creative around. I mentioned one of the kind of national government schemes that we can apply to, and there'll be more of those sorts of things. So keeping our eyes open for the opportunities as they arise and being ready for it will be really important. But actually, it might be about more creative solutions as well. And we'll continue to work with finance colleagues to look at what they might be, so that we've got the money in the bank to be able to be able to deliver on some of this stuff. And then the other aspect will be the national picture, and policies and legislation that kind of sit within national government could be an absolute blessing, but depending upon which direction they go, that could have an impact as well. So, you know, just being alert to those sorts of things and working with them as changes come along.
Absolutely. It is far from plain sailing to embark on such a large initiative as this, but we must do that, and we've set our course as by this strategy, as we've already said. And Heather, given you must speak to a lot of people, both those who are residents and represent other organisations, I can imagine things like cost of living crisis, rising inflation, those are other things that occupy people's minds, and therefore tackling climate change and thinking about sustainability might not always be top of their agenda. And I just wonder how, similar to behavioural change, but how you tackle that as an elected member, and how you get fellow members to work with you on that.
Well, I think one of the areas, and I'm probably going to use examples in answering this, because I think that's going to be an easier way of doing it. Quite coincidentally, I'm going to say, we embarked a few years ago on putting together a food strategy for Warwickshire, looking at the availability, the sustainability and the accessibility of foods for our residents. And that strategy feeds into the Sustainable Futures one. And it's very much about how we tackle and help residents with the cost of living. Because if you think about it, we've taken that and gone to a delivery plan of having food champions, how we work with food banks, how we have community pantries in certain parts of the county, where we need to be able to get to residents, whether that's working with Warwickshire Rural Community Council, teaching people how to cook again to make it easier during this cost of living crisis, importing private money such as Cadent in the supply of the slow cookers to residents. And those are the things that I think councillors really do want to get engaged with and really help residents through, you know, particularly those most vulnerable in our society through the cost of living crisis. But it's not forgetting that sustainability element when you think about it. A slow cooker, being able to use that, less energy being used, and you're cooking from scratch, the food is likely to be cheaper. So those are the kinds of things that can feed in and make a real practical difference for people. And I think you haven't got to make this an expensive option for residents.
Yes, and we've thought about how we frame that. You mentioned the comms plan, communications plan, Sarah, and we're thinking about this in intelligent ways, that we're not looking for anybody to have to sacrifice anything, but for it to make sense. Hence why we've been very clear that this is about sustainability going into the future, making people's lives easier, making cost of living more bearable, etc. So that's part of the challenge as well, and not being so dogmatic about things have to change. We have to do it with people, absolutely. And I was thinking also, Sarah, about some of the wider resourcing challenges. I can imagine that there are plenty of organisations and technology advancements out there that we could, how do we make a choice? How do we go about backing the right approach for the future? We must have to do a lot of research and development.
I think it's a really good question. And it's interesting, there's lots of people that want to talk to us at the moment. Some of them are, you know, doing so out of the goodness of their own heart, and they kind of recognise they're part of the Warwickshire landscape. They might be Warwickshire residents themselves. They've got a real social value and social interest in working with us, which is great. There's lots of others who, you know, are businesses and that, you know, they want to be able to continue to make a profit or whatever. And I think for us, being able to understand and work out what's right for Warwickshire is important. But we have to do that in the right ways, with the right governance and with the right discussion and the right experts around the table. So I know I'm certainly getting inundated with offers of support, which in many ways is brilliant and amazing, and I'm sure you guys are both the same. But I think just being able to review those and weigh them up, the right pros and cons, and then being able to take the decisions that are best for us as Warwickshire is really important. And sometimes that might be not being too hasty, which may feel a little bit frustrating for some, but we have to do so at the expense of the public purse and do so with our hats on as County Council. So, yeah, it's not easy necessarily, but we have to do so in a mindful way.
Indeed. And we're coming to the end now, and I just want to ask you about priorities. You know, if there was something that you really wanted to see real strides and progress, and I'll come to you first, Heather. Is there a part of our strategy or our overall approach that you really want to, in the next year, say, you'd want to see some real progress coming forward?
Obviously, I think about the tree planting on that. We've got our tree nursery in place, so I'd like to see that really develop and fly in the next year. The other thing I think about a lot is, because transport is what 44% of our emissions in the county, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd love technology to come forward that helps us to solve this conundrum around electricity, hydrogen, what other alternative fuels could come forward for transport, because it doesn't just include the car. And I know we have our EV charging is really hopefully going to be great guns, because we've got some government funding coming forward. So that would be, it would be really nice to have that sort of well on the road. More EV charging points in Warwickshire can only be a plus to move that agenda forward. But I would, you know, if there's also trains that go through our, you know, the goods trains that go through our county, the motorways, the lorries, all of that. If I could wave a magic wand, I suppose I'd like technology to come forward and make a decision about electricity, hydrogen, which are the way forwards.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting contrast that it's a very rural county, is Warwickshire, but it also has a huge amount of primary transportation going through it, through our motorways and our rail links as well. And obviously we've got HS2 being constructed through Warwickshire as well. We're not unique, but we're one of the few that are managing that interface as well. And Sarah, the same question to you, really. Where would you really like to see some priority progress made over the next 12 months?
Yeah, obviously, I wouldn't disagree with anything that Heather says, because they're all absolutely top priorities. I think built environment and energy is absolutely up there. The energy landscape is a complicated one. And I think being able to kind of understand our place better within that and understand what energy planning means to us with the energy sector is going to be really, really important. And therefore, what that then means to not only our own estates, but that of the wider county.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Heather. We always like to finish our conversations with sharing some ideas on what other people can do. What would you say to a Warwickshire resident who wants to play their part? Heather, if I can come to you first.
I think find out about the things that you can do in your everyday life to make a difference. And I think, you know, there's lots of examples on our sustainable strategies website there. There's lots of examples of what people have done. They're not, I don't want to make life onerous for people, but I do think those small changes can make a real difference. Think about what if you're in at that stage of changing your heating system, think about all the options, look at all the options, get in touch with your local councils to see what is on offer and what you can do. I think that's what I would probably be saying to residents. If you are thinking of changing your car, is an electric car the option now? Is it ready for it? Have you got the right facilities locally? Have you got a charging point near you? Or are you likely to want to put one in at home? All of that thing, but to investigate it thoroughly and make sure it's right for you at this point in your life.
Absolutely. And same to you, Sarah, what one thing could you offer to people listening to play their part?
I think it's do one thing, actually. So the one thing is do one thing. I think the subject of sustainability is so wide reaching. And I think for some people, it can feel like that whole elephant that they've got to consume. And actually, just doing one thing is different to what they were doing before. I mean, some of the changes that I've made recently, I've started to take the bus into work, which I'm loving because it means I've got more time for myself where I'm not driving and I don't have to concentrate. But I've also done other things that are kind of saving me money at the same time. You know, I perhaps go to the zero waste shop and take my own bags with me. And actually, that's cheaper than going to the supermarket because they're not coming with the packaging and all that kind of stuff. And I'm also trying to use the markets as well, which means I'm kind of putting money back into the local economy and again, reducing the waste. But it will be different for everyone. And Heather's already mentioned the website, which is warwickshireclimateemergency.org.uk. That's a great resource that really gives people all sorts of ideas that they can kind of fine tune to their own personal sort of circumstances. So I would encourage them to just do one thing. You know, it could be recycling the plastic wrappers, which I didn't know this until relatively recently, you can take to the supermarket. So whilst they might not go in all of our recycling bins, you can take them to the supermarket, and it reduces that impact on household waste that Heather mentioned before.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both very much for today and for joining me on this podcast. I've learned a huge amount. I've learned, first and foremost, significant effort by the County Council to really break down the challenge and to put some dedication through you, Sarah, and your team, and the political support that we have through led by you, Heather, and the cross-party commitments that we have. So it's been superb. Thank you very much. That's the end of this episode of our Sustainable Warwickshire podcast. If you'd like to find out more about climate change in Warwickshire, do visit www.warwickshireclimateemergency.org.uk. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed the conversation and would like to hear more of the same, please do subscribe. We'll be back next month with more.